You know, it's my great pleasure right now to introduce to everybody a man who really needs no introduction.
Carl.
Dragon.
King.
I'm not calling the fans geeks. I'm not calling them rednecks, tobacco chewing nothing, because I've done all that myself.
Carl.
Dragon.
King.
Carl.
In your dreams, you will see me.
Excuse me, please, let's don't talk negatively.
I'm going to win the title. I'm going to keep my money and buy me some good old Tennessee drinking whiskey with it.
Thank you for being such a great husband.
And this is for you, Fannie Mae. Solid gold, baby, just like you and me.
Hey, everybody. Carl Stern here for the Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling audio show here at WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com. Thank you very much for joining me. Over at my website, which I have, which is called whenitwascool.com, I am doing a theme all month long. We are celebrating Halloween all throughout the month of October. If you're listening to this at the time it drops and not out of our archives, this is October of 2022. And so here at the Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling Audio Show, to keep the shows kind of fresh and interesting and moving along, I do a rotation of shows that are themed around different aspects of classic retro pro wrestling. And this week would be the theme of From the Pages of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, where I visit one of Dave Meltzer's history pieces, be that a biography, an obituary, a Hall of Fame piece, something like that, and we discuss it on that show. But I'm pausing our usual rotation of shows for the month of October to keep it in theme with what I'm doing over at whenitwascool.com. And that is, again, celebrating Halloween all month long. So all of our shows are going to be themed around some sort of Halloween story, monsters, horror movies, anything themed about Halloween. Now, in the past, I've already reviewed many of the Halloween Havoc shows. I mean, that's the first thing you would think of, right? The old WCW Halloween Havoc, and that's a name that's been resurrected by WWE even in recent years. But, you know, I've done most of those classic shows, and hey, a lot of people really love those, think that's some of the funniest shows I've ever done. I mean, for Pete's sake, they put Abdullah the Butcher in an electric chair one time in the middle of a cage match, which Mick Foley as Cactus Jack couldn't work the switch to. It was absolutely ridiculous. But all those have been done. So what new could I do? Well, a few years ago, I did Monsters in Pro Wrestling, where I actually covered people like Frankenstein in pro wrestling, the Mummy in pro wrestling, and stuff like that. And again, if you want to listen to those shows, and I hope you will, they're over in the archives at whenitwascool.com. So what to do this year? What to do that's new and interesting and different? And so I thought I would do some really deep dives, some investigative work, if you would. I love doing deep investigative type studies in pro wrestling. I have a series called The Saga Of, and where I really take different wrestling stories and ones that, especially ones that have like a mythology built around, and I really pick them apart. I go through the whole era, try to put it in context, see what the reality of the situation is, and those Saga Ofs are some of my favorite shows to do. And so this month, in searching out monsters and horror themes in pro wrestling, I want to try to find some things that maybe have not been discovered or have been forgotten or are not part of the usual talking points of pro wrestling. And today on this show, I want to go in search of Dracula in pro wrestling. I'm doing a lot of Dracula stuff this month. In fact, I'm dropping the entire Dracula audiobook on our Patreon feed. And much, much more. And we'll talk about it. Some of it is wrestling related, sort of. We'll talk about it here in a moment. But there have been cases of vampire characters in pro wrestling. Of that, I'm certain. I even talked about that. I did a whole show about vampires in wrestling, and you may immediately think of several. Gangrel, a former WWE star, certainly comes to mind, and his brood stable, which included Edge and Christian. Yes, when they first debuted in WWE as their characters, now they had done some enhancement work previous to that, but as their characters, the stable of Gangrel, Edge, and Christian were vampire-themed. They even had this great, very elaborate opening that's still to this day one of the better entrances in WWE history. The Gangrel entrance was very elaborate and very spooky and very gothic, and as I said, themed around the vampire. But that wasn't Dracula. That was just a vampire theme. And there have been others. Vampiro obviously comes to mind, who was a very successful star in Lucha Libre in Mexico, but also had a very successful run in the latter days of WCW. And then you all know who Vampiro is. I mean, he was on the commentary team for Lucha Underground, and you know, he was a big rival to Conan down in Mexico. He was a TV star in his own rights, and still periodically from time to time, Vampiro will, well, for lack of a better term, resurrect himself, and we'll see him pop around. But again, that's not Dracula. That's a vampire. There have been others with overtones of that. Maybe Kevin Thorne, Mordecai, as he was briefly in WWE. You could maybe stretch that to be a vampire as well. And there have been others. I mean, multiple territories at some point in time have, you know, had some sort of vampire character. But I was surprised to learn that Dracula himself has been very seldom done in professional wrestling. Now, the most obvious Dracula and pro wrestling crossover never took place in the ring. It actually took place in the theaters. And I have reviewed them this month over at whenitwascool.com. Two El Santo movies featured Dracula. One from 1969, the first one, Aldo Monte played the role of Count Dracula as he faced off against a Lucha Libre legend, El Santo, in the movie called El Santo and the Treasure of Dracula. And I had a lot of fun watching that movie. It was, you know, those El Santo movies, some of them can be pretty fun. Now, they're weirdly ludicrous. They have no real continuity between the movies, and the suspension of disbelief, let's just say, is very high and very necessary anytime you watch an El Santo movie. But hey, El Santo against Dracula, that sounds great. They never actually fight in the movie, do El Santo and Dracula, though Dracula's played pretty straight in the Bela Lugosi tradition of Dracula in this movie, and it's more of a story of El Santo coming up with a super ridiculous scientific device which can travel people back in time, and that is how he comes to discover Dracula is his mortal remains, or his, I guess, immoral and immortal remains are in a cave in Mexico. Don't ask too many questions, because you're going to find a lot of plot holes in this. But I go through the whole movie and explain it. But that is really one of the first real, I guess, crossovers with Dracula into pro wrestling. And it wouldn't be the last. It wouldn't be the last time Dracula would encounter El Santo. Another movie, which came out in 1972, pitted El Santo and the Blue Demon against Dracula and the Wolfman. Now, Dracula is again played by Aldo Monte in this film, but it seems to have really absolutely no continuity between one or the other. These stories are completely different, and there's never any indication that one has anything whatsoever to do with the other. In this particular movie, weirdly enough, again, Dracula is interred in a cave in Mexico, alongside the Wolfman, who we are told were interred there some 400 years ago, which of course blows all kinds of holes in the established Dracula continuity, but whatever. And Dracula and El Santo, along with his friend and partner in the movie Blue Demon, end up working a case involving fighting those two. But again, there isn't ever any real fight between El Santo nor Blue Demon against Dracula himself. They mostly fought vampires and werewolves, which had been created by Dracula and the Wolfman by way of, I guess, biting other people. They did fight the associated vampires and the Wolfman, but Dracula and the Wolfman themselves had only a very, very brief skirmish, and I won't give away the ending because you can listen. Again, I'm reviewing that whole movie over at whenitwascool.com, but there's not really a match between them. So that's really the most prominent portrayal of Dracula, the character himself, in pro wrestling. So I searched and I searched, and wrestling's, you know, kind of flirted with the Dracula character a little bit, mostly in the 1970s, which 60s and 70s, which one would expect because that was the monster revival. The old Universal Monsters had been very popular in the 1930s and 1940s, where you had Dracula played by Bela Lugosi, and then you had the classic Frankenstein and the Bride of Frankenstein and the Creature from the Black Lagoon, the Mummy, and all those great Universal horror monsters. And there was a real nostalgia wave for them by the time the 1970s rolls around. So if that, which, you know, as that's when you got the monster down in Southern California wrestling, the Frankenstein monster literally coming up there. And of course, the Mummy had, there had been multiple portrayals of the Mummy around wrestling for years. And those two characters kind of lend themselves to pro wrestling, right? They're big brutes. You have the big, unintelligible brute. And it's really in the style of, like, you know, Undertaker or Kane or Lord Humongous or, you know, one of some of these big, giant, you know, lumbering powerhouses. Frankenstein and the Mummy lend themselves a little more to that than does Dracula. Dracula, not to mention, is really based in the supernatural. So what do you do with Dracula as a wrestler? Well, you presume in the Bela Lugosi tradition, he's going to be handsome, well-dressed, and articulate, and he's going to have some sort of mesmerizing power. And that gimmick's been used in wrestling. In the as early as 1916, there was a tournament being held in Brooklyn, New York, called the International Tournament, and it featured such people as Ed Strangler Lewis. And there was a wrestler involved in that tournament. Now, wrestling was very closely aligned with vaudeville back in those days, so it wasn't completely out of place that you would have a hypnotist back then called mesmerizing. There was a wrestler who would mesmerize his opponents and get them to literally beat themselves up or agree to be pinned with their hypnotic powers, which is, you know, one that has been implied Dracula has over the years. So that's interesting. Dracula would have, you know, be stronger than most mortal men. Even the book Bram Stoker's Dracula portrayed Dracula as having a, you know, above average strength. So you'd want someone strong playing the role. Of course, he can morph into different animals, the bat and the wolf, even turn into mist, so to speak. And he is presumed to be immortal, except he has a few weaknesses, of course, you know, driving a stake through the heart and you know, in some stories or some superstitions, cutting the head off and other things like that. So there's a little bit that might lend him to be a wrestling character. Also, Dracula's been in the public domain for a pretty good while, so there's really nothing keeping some enterprising wrestler to come up and just decide he's going to be Dracula, Count Dracula. Surprisingly, it doesn't seem to have happened very much. Now, Lucha Libre, as we talked about with El Santo, seems more like the place to do that gimmick, right? And the few times it's sort of reared its head, it's been down there. There was a wrestler of some degree of renown named Agent Eques. And Agent Eques was aligned with a wrestler who called themselves Conte Dracula. Now, can't really find much about him. Looks like his, I found a picture of his mask that was being sold in an older book, and it was literally Gene Simmons. You know, there's a luchador named after Kiss that wears like a Gene Simmons makeup style mask, and how they get away with that, I don't know. You would think Gene Simmons, of all people, would crack down on that, but nonetheless, doesn't appear to be the case. But Conte Dracula appears to have worn that mask. And there were others. You may Google up the term, as I did, Dracula in pro wrestling, and you're going to come across pretty high in the results, if not the first one. You're going to come up with a photo of two luchadors with black masks that appear to have a bat on them with the title that says Los Dracula. Now, I think it should correctly be Los Draculas, but there are two wrestlers there, and it says Los Dracula. I'm just reporting what I see. But I can find really nothing whatsoever about that team or that person. There's an El Dracula, a Los Draculas. Very little. And, of course, as we know, Lucha Libre is hugely popular in Mexico. There are lots and lots of smaller promotions, even way back into history. And a lot of that hasn't really been chronicled on the Internet. So it's in some ways not surprising that I've not seen, you know, couldn't find really any information other than this one photo on Pinterest, of all places, of Los Draculas. And but clearly that was the gimmick. They've got a black mask with a bat on it, so and capes. So presumably that's exactly who they were. So that would be at least one, or if you count the team, two instances of Dracula actually appearing in pro wrestling. And there was another wrestler down there for a while who called himself Heavy Dracula, although he only used that name very briefly. Dark Cuervo, I believe, was the name of the wrestler who briefly, early in his career, used the name Heavy Dracula, which, you know, you would presume this would be a fat guy, but nope, not so. He's just a average-looking luchador, in my opinion, doing a goth gimmick. I guess something's lost in the translation there. He probably meant it to be translated as something like Dark Dracula or you know, Creepy Dracula or something like that. But nevertheless, Heavy Dracula was in fact a thing that actually existed in Lucha Libre down in Mexico. So the trail of Dracula as the character in wrestling grows kind of cold. There's not really that I've been able to find a wrestler who actually portrayed Count Dracula himself. Though one would think back in the 1930s or 1940s, you would have seen that somewhere. And maybe you did, because again, that's the late 1930s and the 1940s is an era of wrestling where the popularity of pro wrestling had trailed off and is not as well chronicled as one might like for it to be. I am trying to rectify that with the timeline I've been working on for years, but so far haven't really come across a Dracula. That does seem like something you would come across on some smaller independent shows or whatever. Now, it is notable, and many of you may remember this, back in 2013, CM Punk once dressed up as Count Dracula on WWE wrestling. But, you know, again, that was CM Punk wearing a costume. That wasn't him wrestling in character over a prolonged period of time as Dracula. So I began to get kind of discouraged that I would find an actual wrestling Dracula beyond the two mysterious luchadors pictured on Pinterest that appears to have come from a Lucha Libre magazine, appears just from the quality of the photo that this would be sometime in the 1960s and 70s, presumably the 1970s. It is in full color, and again, the mask and the cape and the caption does lead one to believe that at least two wrestlers have used some version of the name of Dracula in the context of pro wrestling.
Excuse me, please. let's don't talk negatively. Speaking of winners, surprise, surprise, whenitwascool.com is your home for retro pop culture articles and podcasts. To all our patron supporters, this is for you, Fannie Mae. Solid gold just like you and me. Family friendly and fun, whenitwascool.com.
So again, a few years ago, I did a deep dive into vampires and wrestling, and I think I'll stick that show up on the free feed over at whenitwascool.com. So if you'll subscribe to that When It Was Cool wrestling feed, I'll put those shows up on it during October. But while there have been a few, although not as many as you would think, a few vampire gimmicks in wrestling, and again, Vampiro and Gangrel and Kevin Thorne being, you know, kind of among the most well-known, there have been a few others. I saw there's like a Lestat vampire wrestling up in Canada, of course named after the vampire from Interview with the Vampire novel and later movie. So when I was hunting up for actual examples of Dracula being involved in pro wrestling, the Dracula character, I was thrilled to stumble upon the following article and headline, which I thought was going to lead to something interesting. The headline said, Romanian pro wrestling raising funds to bring one of wrestling's most popular vampires to Transylvania. So there's a lot to unpack in just the headline there. First of all, there is a such thing as Romanian pro wrestling. Now, this really should come as no surprise. Pro wrestling is famous all over the world, and more than you would ever know from just reading the newsletters or American newsstand magazines and stuff. We know there have been very healthy, very successful pro wrestling countries at places that never really got any coverage. Argentina had a very successful lucha scene for a long time. Central America, Brazil had a great thriving wrestling community. Africa has had multiple pro wrestling companies in different parts, different countries there on the continent of Africa that you seldom ever heard about here in the United States. So it's no surprise that there might be some in the interior of Europe, even in Romania. And of course, we know the Dracula legend and mythos comes from Transylvania, which is a geographical area located within Romania. So this held some possibilities. But then you're reading about it, and no, there's no Dracula to be found. I found this article. It says, Romanian pro wrestling is currently in the process of attempting to raise funds to bring Gangrel, one of pro wrestling's most famous vampires, to Transylvania for the first time. And now this article I might mention is several years old. I think it's circa 2012. Gangrel's proposed trip to Transylvania would include the filming of a project called Russellvania. Oh, that's a great name. That would see the legendary vampire visit Dracula's castle in Transylvania and other, quote, unconventional locations, according to Romanian Pro Wrestling. The Romanian company is currently in the process of raising funds to help fund the movie project and a donation to their GoFundMe page. Yeah, you would, of course, it's Go Get Funding. It's not a GoFundMe page. Will gain you access to the finished film project. Now, I would presume this probably never came to fruition, but it says it concludes perhaps the most intriguing part of this project is what Romanian Pro Wrestling is calling the main event of its entire initiative. Part of the funds will go toward ensuring Gangrel's first appearance in a wrestling ring in Transylvania, a region of Romania that's long been associated with vampires. Gangrel wrestling in Transylvania makes a ton of sense to us here at WrestleMap, and that is the website that published this article, and it's something we wholeheartedly support. Wrestling's most famous vampires should absolutely be wrestling in Transylvania, and we hope this project can move forward. And so, again, I don't know if it ever did. There are no comments on the story. And I've never heard of it and didn't find any follow-up on my Google search. But continuing the dive down the Google rabbit hole while searching for, in particular, specifically Dracula in pro wrestling, I did find someone posted on the IGNboards.com, and boy, those can be hit or miss message forums. Somebody actually once upon a time posted, actually this was back in 2012, seems like there was a renaissance of vampire wrestling back in 2012. Someone posted, would anyone else find it funny if Dracula started wrestling for the WWE? And the person whose screen name, perhaps it is maybe one of you, named WWE13 here, welcome. And their status is listed as noob. Posted on September the 19th, 2012, undoubtedly getting in the Halloween spirit themselves, stated if Dracula was real, well, if Dracula were real, but maybe he is. There is argument that Vlad Tepes was the origination for the name Dracula, although that's largely mythos and largely stretching some facts to come to this conclusion. But nevertheless, if Dracula, I'm reading this exactly as it's written, if Dracula was real and he started wrestling for WWE, period, it would be so funny, period. But imagine wrestling wasn't scripted or anything. Well, it's kind of like our GKT tournament. Perhaps I should have included Dracula in the tournament. He would have been a ringer, a spoiler in there. But he abided by the rules, as he had a deep love for the business. Yes, a business-loving Dracula in this fan's mind here. The storylines could be great. Also, it would be real funny. I think this could help them sell more games again. It would be like if Girl Scout cookies contained money. So there's a lot we could unpack about WWE 13 here. Welcome, the noob original poster from IGNboards.com. Threads/ would anyone else find it funny if Dracula started wrestling for WWE thread? Dracula as a babyface, a business-loving babyface who adheres to the rules. Like no turning in. Is there like an NWA rule where you can't turn into a bat or a wolf mid-match? Imagine this. He would be very hard to pin because he could just turn into mist and vapor and rise up to the ceiling as someone attempted to pin his vampiric shoulders to the mat. Would he wear the cape during the match or just the tuxedo? I don't know. All these are very intriguing questions. Furthermore, in my search for Dracula and any crossover he may have had in pro wrestling, and I was really disappointed to find that back in the 1930s and 40s, someone didn't trot this out. You got to know it happened. I think it's less a matter of, was there at some point in time a Dracula, a legit Dracula in pro wrestling, more so that it just hasn't been found. Like, I'm convinced. I was putting some results into my Ultimate History of Pro Wrestling timeline recently. And back during this same time period, 1930s, I come across a wrestler by the name of House Painter Hogan. And I thought, wow, House Painter Hogan's never got enough love over the years. And I found his name in several results, actually. I forget which territory he was working in. I think either Montreal or Toronto. I think he was up in Canada. But House Painter Hogan actually had some fairly higher profile matches. And earlier in the, I can't remember if it was like circa 1900 or the very late 1800s, there was a wrestler called the Mysterious Horseshoer. And you got to think that's a gimmick that was probably not something you could do a modern interpretation of. The Mysterious Horseshoer. And as I've already told you, there was a mesmerist around 1916 in the international tournament. You've got to think there had to be a Dracula sometime during that time period. But alas, so far, I've not come across it in my results. And I still add probably 75 to 100 pages worth of information to that timeline every single month. So I feel like it's just a matter of time before Dracula referees a match or Dracula is a special guest or something. You just got to think this would be the case. But in searching through these results, or looking, searching for Dracula in pro wrestling, I came across a weird one-time appearance, and I can't find anything else about this person. Perhaps you may know who this was. There was a promotion back in the early 2000s called Hustle, and this was a Japanese wrestling promotion that was very much sports entertainment with a capital sports entertainment. Okay, they would take actual legitimate pro wrestling stars and give them just wacky gimmicks, video game based gimmicks. I think once upon a time Nobuhiko Takada basically played M. Bison from Street Fighter, and there were a number of very bizarre, really out there sports entertainment oriented gimmicks. You think people complain and cry about AEW nowadays, their heads would explode if they had to go back and watch any Hustle. So on the fourth Hustle pay-per-view, July 25th, 2004, Masato Tanaka won a battle royal. Actually, it was not just a battle royal. It was a hardcore battle royal. And many of you may remember Masato Tanaka. He was a well-known star during that time period. ECW, he worked there as well. But others in this hardcore battle royal include Kentaro Kanemura, that was a name from around that time period. Steve Corino, we all know Steve Corino. Come on, he's been around for a long, long time. And ECW, Ring of Honor, commentator for a long time. He's done tons of independent work. Steve Corino, of course, he was in this battle royal. Tomiaka Hanma, obviously a well-known name in wrestling. Tomohiro Ishii. That's a name, right? I mean, we know all these people. All these are well-known folks. Every single one of these are, we know them, right? Follow Japanese wrestling even tangentially, like myself. You recognize every single one of those names, except there was one more. And there's no link to his biography that I can find, but maybe some of you perhaps know who he was. But there was Flying Vampire number 7. This, of course, hints at the fact that perhaps there was a Flying Vampire number 1 through 6. We don't know how, it's kind of like Dave's star ratings. We don't really know how high they can go, but it is certainly implied that you could have had a Flying Vampire 1, 2, 3. They may have skipped 4, I don't know, but probably a 4, 5, 6. And here we have in action 7. And I don't know why the other 6 presumed Flying Vampires weren't in this hardcore battle royal, but Flying Vampire 7 here showed up. Now, I've no idea who this is. I've no idea why this is the only name in this entire battle royale who we don't know. When I type in Flying Vampire number 7 wrestling in Google, I get surprisingly better, very little. Basically, just the one match is all I find. You would have thought he would have broken to the PWI top 500 at one point in time, but it looks like he only worked the one match. And I'm sad to say also, there doesn't appear to be any photos of this fellow when you presumed fellow, could be a female, we don't know. But I click on that, there's no pictures. Every single listing seems to point to this one result. Now, when it talks of Hustle Professional Wrestling, and I go to their Wikipedia page, and I type in vampire, I find out that, in fact, there does appear to have been other flying vampires, of which I don't know who they are. But there were apparently also Flying Vampires number 16, 23, 25, and 28. Strangely enough, they don't list Flying Vampire number 7. So maybe he went under a different name here. I don't know. Hustle was a very, very weird group, but at some point in time, I guess there were at least 4, if not 5, if not 28 Flying Vampires. So, Maybe if any of you know, perhaps you're Japanese professional wrestling aficionados and you know and research such things, I would love to know who the Flying Vampires were. Now, that being said, it still doesn't clear up our mystery at all, which looks like it will remain unsolved. Flying Vampire is not Dracula. Does not appear Dracula improper ever appeared anywhere in professional wrestling besides perhaps in Mexico, where there were two Los Draculas, which we could uncover basically nothing. So, as I conclude my deep dive into searching for Dracula, a Dragon King Carl research project, I'm sad to report that there's been very scant evidence of Dracula ever being involved in pro wrestling. But I don't give up hope. I hope to perhaps report back next year that in October that I have discovered Dracula in my copious results, of which I still have thousands of pages to go through. And maybe then we will see the Lord of the Damned himself, the immortal Dracula, pop up and probably maybe something will happen between now and then. Hey, CM Punk's still around, sort of, causing trouble and whatnot in professional wrestling. Maybe he will decide to resurrect his career post his AEW suspension as Dracula once again, the only actual modern day person I can find who represented Dracula. Yes, I know. You can go back. I think Tony Schiavone dressed up as Dracula one time on a WCW pay-per-view to do commentary. But as a legit gimmick, as someone showing up wanting to be Dracula in pro wrestling, I'm sad to report that I must conclude this show having failed to find Dracula.
We depend on Patreon support for our website and podcast network. In order to continue these podcasts you enjoy, we need you to visit whenitwascool.com and pledge at least $1. You'll gain access to lots of exclusive podcasts, newsletters, and more. Sign up is quick, simple, and can be canceled at any time. whenitwascool.com and click any Patreon link. Thank you.
Now you may say to yourself, Carl, I didn't learn that much from today's show, and usually when I listen to your history-based retro pro wrestling shows, I learned some information, but I would argue differently. I would argue that today you probably learned, as I did, that there were two luchadors in Mexico who remained mysterious and anonymous named El Draculas. I would argue that perhaps you learned that there was once a wrestler in Mexico named Heavy Dracula. I should have looked for Count Chocula, perhaps, but nevertheless, sticking to our original point here, I would also say you learned of the Flying Vampires in Japanese wrestling, in Hustle. And we've got to reminisce some about our actual vampire gimmick wrestlers, such as Gangrel, Kevin Thorne, Vampiro, and the like in mainstream professional wrestling. It's unfortunate that this gimmick has been so far passed over, and I really don't fully understand why. Dracula would make a great manager. He would make, while I think, again, Frankenstein and the Mummy are your better wrestler gimmicks because, you know, monsters and heavies in pro wrestling, big brute heels, that fits the gimmick quite well. Dracula's, I feel, been overlooked. There was a whole big vampire renaissance in popular culture back in the 1990s. It seemed like, whereas zombies have kind of overtaken and overpopulated the world of pop culture today, back in the 1990s, vampires had did the same. There were multiple vampire movies. It would seem like every week there was some new knockoff vampire movie on TV. And again, like we said, The Brood and WWF just all over pop culture, you had vampires everywhere. Don't see vampires so much anymore. It's like that has become kind of a gimmick that's sort of fallen away from popular culture at large. And I think we're due for a renaissance of some type of monster. Zombies have really run their course. ghost and stuff, haunted houses still seem to be relatively popular. It seems like the genre of true crime and things like the recent very successful Netflix show Dahmer have kind of replaced fantasy monsters with real ones. Like it's been quite a while. What we have now is a lot of retreads. I mean, every year there's a new Halloween movie coming out, right? The last couple of years there's been one. I think there's even one this year called Halloween Ends or something like that. Like, yeah, like you're going to convince me of that. But we haven't really had they've retread Leatherface and Freddy Krueger and Jason many, many, many times, rebooted those series after multiple sequels. But we haven't really come up with a good new monster. And I think that's because people have discovered real ones and find that sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. Good Lord, I don't see how anybody could watch that Dahmer documentary and be the least bit impressed by stories of fictional vampires and Count Dracula when real monsters like that stalk the earth. And so I certainly hope we don't turn to serial killers and cannibals and such in pro wrestling. Obviously, actually, there have been cannibal gimmicks in pro wrestling before, but today it's just not going to fly in today's world of easily offended folk and everybody, white knighting every single gimmick and idea that comes along. Very surprised if there were ever a Jeffrey Dahmer type character in pro wrestling as well. There should not be. I'm not certainly not arguing for one. There absolutely shouldn't be. Dracula, however, I feel like remains fair game. So hopefully one day we may see Dracula in professional wrestling. Until then, and between now and next year when I'll revisit this thought again, I hope to discover the identities or at least some matches for the Los Draculas tag team or El Dracula singular or more about Heavy Dracula and find out maybe a little more about that gimmick. Until then, thank you very much for listening. And until then, I hope you will check out my website, whenitwascool.com, where we are celebrating Halloween all month long, all sorts of stuff. I'm posting the entire audiobook for Bram Stoker's Dracula. If you've never listened to that before, never read the novel, it is one of the best Victorian era horror novels out there. It's an excellent book. So get yourself some literature and come on over to When It Was Cool, where you can listen to that as a Patreon supporter. And also, we do a new show almost every single day, and almost every one of them this month, including our third-party provider show, will be about monsters and horror and Halloween. We're not just doing Dracula, but doing many others as well. We got a review for Nightmare on Elm Street and other stuff. Come by, check us out. WhenItWasCool.com, doing a big push this month, and hopefully we can see you over there. We have a very active and supportive Patreon community of which you can contribute by comment and question and suggestion and become part of our very, very friendly group of folks over there enjoying retro pop culture. So thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you here again soon with another show.
If you liked what you heard, go to whenitwascool.com.
This is the sound of the 80s. Everybody's looking for it, and we've got it.
And hit that Patreon button.
If you'll excuse me, I need to go buy a new Cyndi Lauper CD and have myself a little cry.